Welcome, everybody. Hope you all are doing well out there in sports land. This is your host, Sharon Mullen, otherwise known as the Chocolate Girl. Back again with another episode of Did You Hear What Chocolate Said? And I am joined, I'm so excited to have with me today the most interesting podcaster in the world. The ignorant thinker podcaster himself, Mr. Dennis Holmes. Hey, Dennis, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm feeling good. Thank you. Thank you for the great introduction. I feel so blessed.
All right. Well, we're going to have an exciting and informative show today. We're going to talk about our teams in the NFL draft, the Steelers, of course, and the Eagles. And then we're going to move to the 49ers, the Cowboys, the Raiders, the Giants, Bengals, and then we're going to finish out with the world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers and wrap the show up there because we couldn't just talk about all 30 teams. We will be here all afternoon. Wouldn't you say, Dennis?
Right, we got all that time.
Yeah, we got to cut it down some, so. Why don't we just go ahead and we can get started? And again, thank you so much for being here with me, Dennis. So
No problem.
Of course, I got to start with my Steelers. I'm getting a lot of backlash from people about the Steelers draft. Not so much now as I was the day of the draft, because here's what happened. In the first round, with their first pick at 24, my Pittsburgh Steelers selected Najee Harris, running back, out of the University of Alabama, the current national champion. And I had a lot of Steelers fans even saying that that was a horrible pick, rating it a C minus, a D, a F, saying, oh, you should have done your offensive line for initially. I'm looking at this like, look, I've been saying for the past 2 or 3 weeks before the draft, Najee Harris is the one we need. Shout out to my Pittsburgh Steelers compadre, Ramona Dye. She's also just as excited as I am about this pick. I believe they said, as far as what the coach and the GM said, when I watched their press conference, they had already decided before the draft, Mr. Dennis, that if he was there at 24, he was going to be their pick. And there was no discussion. They both said there was no discussion. When he fell to 24, they knew that's who they were going to go with, and that's who they picked. They had nothing but glowing things to say about him. They talked about his athleticism, his speed, the fact that he plays for a team that runs NFL schemes as it is, an NFL style offense, from a coach that knows the NFL style very well. And he's played an NFL type game his entire career there at Alabama. I mean, yeah. It's a no brainer. They talked about his conditioning. And it's been a while since I heard a coach or a GM talk about a player's conditioning. They say athleticism a lot, but he said conditioning, which is a whole nother thing. Right. That speaks to your endurance. That speaks to you being durable. And when you're a running back, that's two things you need. You need to be able to run a whole lot. You need to be able to stay healthy. So I'm very excited about this pick. But how did you feel about it, Dennis? What did you think about it?
I kind of felt like the rest of your fans. Like I always say, there's two type of fan bases out there is the ones that know football and know their team history. And then there's the other ones that don't know their team history. So, I felt as though because all of your offensive linemen are either banged up or they're about my age, which is 35, that it was time for y'all to get some new blood in there. But at that pick, to be honest with you, you would kind of be reaching like the Oakland Raiders did when they got Alex Leatherwood. So for y'all to go get Najee Harris was not bad. I mean, this is what the Steelers do. But in the second round, Who did y'all get in the second round?
In the second round, we got the tight end from Wisconsin.
Y'all did need a tight end.
Yeah, we needed a tight end.
Last tight end y'all had that was good was Heath Miller.
Was Heath Miller, and Heath was the man, but we haven't had anybody like him since him.
Right, because I put a whole lot on Eric Ebron this season. I was in a fantasy football league, and you know I was playing against one of my OGs, and we've been trash talking each other for almost 20 years. So this time I said I was gonna get him good. I'm gonna play two tight ends in my fantasy. And I'm going to beat him with two tight ends. And Eric Ebron, this is the game I was playing against the Bengals. He got knocked out in the first quarter.
Wow.
First pass thrown to him in the first quarter, he got knocked out the game.
Wow.
I said, this is just, all I need. Now, mind you, all I needed was 7 points.
Oh, my.
All I needed was 7 points. I get 7 points, I won the game.
Well, I guess your faith in Ebron just went downhill from there then.
Real quick. You know, I might. I won't draft him. I put it like this. I wouldn't reach for him, but if he's there, I'll take him. Let me say it.
Got you. Well, I was happy with this pick from the beginning because, you know, I know about our offensive line. I know we were not very good this past COVID season. I know we were last against the allowing the run. And I get that, making holes for the runner and so forth. And keeping people out of keeping the defense out of the pocket. I get all that. But if you looked at the draft, it's an O-line heavy draft. And that's what I kept saying to people. What are you talking about? There's 90,000 offensive linemen going available in this draft. Well, they're not all top tier. There were a lot of top tier offensive linemen in this draft. And you don't need the very top tier to get a good offensive lineman anymore. They don't have to be in the top three or the top five. You can get somebody in the second, third, or fourth round and turn out to be a Pro Bowler. They don't have to go first. I mean, people want to say that about the running back all the time, that you don't have to take a running back in the first round. But as Coach Tomlin said, we don't subscribe to that theory. We take the best available player. That's what Steelers do. That's what they've always done, and that's what they did this time. So they made the right pick, I felt, at the right time. The drop-off of running backs in the following rounds was much steeper to me than the drop-off of the offensive lineman. So it made sense.
I agree with that because, like I told you, the guy that I always thought that y'all should get was Chuba Hubbard. So, I agree with that.
I found out it's Chuba.
Chuba, I'm sorry. Chuba Hubbard, you did
tell me. Yeah, I found out that it's Chuba. Well, at least that's what the guy was saying. I heard a broadcaster say that. Yeah, because they were trying to figure out his name. They said, no, it's Chuba. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, maybe they got corrected before. But, yeah, Chuba Hubbard or Chuba, either one. Yeah, I like him too, but... I wanted the Steelers to get either Harris or Etienne, and Harris was there. That was one of eight players the Steelers said, hey, if they're there at 24, at our 24th pick, we're going to take them. And apparently he must have been at the top of the list because he was the one there. And so that's who they got. You've got a back that's ready to run every down. He's athletic. He's got excellent vision, patience. He finds holes. He's able to get more extra yardage. I mean, he's a beast. He's fast. He can run inside. He can run outside. And then you got a guy that's got great character. You heard about what he did before the draft, right?
Yes. Yes. That was the first time I ever heard something like that. Somebody going to their homeless shelter and having a draft party there.
Man. Yeah. Paid for everything, and that was the homeless shelter that was there for him and his family when they needed it, and he went back and paid it forward and gave them a party of their life. I thought that was outstanding. It shows his character, and plus Tomlin and the GM, Colbert, said that when they went to the pro days, the one that they went to live, he could not participate in it. Harris couldn't participate in it, but he drove to the pro days to watch his teammates participate. He didn't have to do that, but no. He did that. That's a team player. That's a person all about the team and cares about his teammates. The Steelers need that in their locker room. Wouldn't you
yeah,
say?
Y'all need that in our locker room. I'm about tired of y'all with these TikTok dances and And these supermodels that y'all was having. So yeah. And these weed smokers. The tired of the weed.
Yes.
Stephen A. Smith voice.
Yes, me too. So this guy seems to be, you know, have his head on straight. So I am extremely excited with all of our draft picks. We got Najee Harris, a running back. We got Pat Freiermuth, the tight end. And we got Kendrick Green, the center. We had to get a center to replace Pouncey.
Hard to replace a Marquise Pouncey.
Yeah, it is. Dan Moore Jr., a defensive tackle. Then we got Bobby Johnson, a linebacker. Isaiah Loudermilk, a defensive end.
Where he from? What school he went to? Loudermilk. Don't tell me Arkansas. Do not tell me he came from Arkansas.
I don't know. I think he was Wisconsin, but I'm not sure. Or Iowa or something. I don't know. I think he's from the Big
Ten. Y'all got Quincy. Y'all got Quincy Roach.
We got Quincy Roach.
Quincy Roach. He played for Temple and transferred to Miami.
That's right. We got Quincy.
He might be the Bud Dupree replacement.
But look, he was a big Ravens fan. Just hated for him. And anyway, then we got some good pickups. We got 9 draft picks. I think they're all going to be excellent. So I'm excited. So are you excited about your Eagles? Are you happy with their draft?
I'm going to wait and see. Right now, I'm just going to appreciate it. Our first pick, I liked the wide receiver, our first pick. I did like the center that we got for our second pick, even though his problem is his health. That's Landon Dickerson from Alabama. The wide receiver we got was Devontae Smith from Alabama. And then in the third round, we went and got a defensive tackle. So it kind of looked like that we went to go see if we could get a partial replacement for Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelce. Because Jason Kelce keep contemplating on that he want to retire every year. And Fletcher Cox is the biggest cap hit that we got on our cap so far. But I think Fletcher Cox should retire here, personally. But,
you know, I was shocked to know that he's still on the team. He was one of the few names on the Eagles that I even recognized. I was like, Fletcher Cox still playing? Well, hey, if he can still play, suit up. That's what I say.
Still playing at a high level. That's the crazy thing. Shout out to Blue Farmer at a high level.
I was happy about Devontae Smith going there. And I was happy about Landon Dickerson. Both of them happen to be Alabama players, of course, but I don't know. Those are two good players, and I think they're in key positions, wide receiver and your center, who can also play a guard.
Which is also, they all got familiarity with my son, Jalen Hurts.
Yes,
for y'all listening for the first time, my son, Jalen Hurts, no relation.
No relation.
That's just how much I love him.
Well, they got that. They've also got that advantage of playing on a team that has that plays an NFL style game, NFL style offense. Anyway, just like Coach Tomlin said about our pick. So,
Najee, yeah,
it's gonna be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Right, but now some of the things that I was upset about, like, you know, one thing that's been lost on our team since we won the Super Bowl is the linebacker position. And a lot of times it just seemed like we take it for granted and we think we can just plug anybody there. It's not a place.
Yeah, you didn't get a linebacker until the 7th round.
Yeah, you can't. There's not a place that you just plug any linebacker there. And we had a chance to get Jabril Cox. We had a chance to get Dylan Moses too. And I mean, we didn't get none of those guys. And that's where I'm upset at, because you know, that's exactly what I want. I want us to get like a linebacker who knew how to do his job. And I want us to get a corner who was familiar with being a man but, you know, may have fell off a little bit. The corner I'm mentioning is Sean Wade from Ohio State. But Sean Wade ended up going to the Ravens. And I'm like, you know.
Well, what about the Texas Tech cornerback that you got? You got any confidence?
Yeah, I think he might be nice, but I still want Sean Wade. Sean Wade was supposed to be a first round corner last year around this time. They had Sean Wade going first round. Yeah. Now, he had a bad season, probably due to COVID. Things happen. But you get him, you put him in the building, he get his skill set back together, get his soul together, you know, we might be looking at a steal right there, of a fifth-round steal as a corner, you know, sort of like Jalen Mills, which was a seventh-round steal. Never know what may happen. That may be a solid corner for you. Now he's with the Ravens, which they just loaded up on more corners.
Right. Well, I get it. So how do you think in terms of the NFC East, how do you think the draft picks are going to position you guys?
If things work out right, we should be competing for NFC East title.
Heard it here first. Heard it here first, you guys.
And I shouldn't even be saying this. I told myself, I said I wasn't going to say nothing good about the Eagles. It was just going to be okay. Thank you. God bless. Good night. You know. And I was going to take the season as it was going. But
right.
Chocolate then sucked it out of me.
Just pulled it out.
She pulled it out. My fault. I didn't mean to say it like that. She pulled it out of me.
I pulled it out of you. But look, you know, this draft was pretty interesting. It did have some a level of intrigue. It was a big question on where all those quarterbacks were going to go and so forth, primarily with one team, the San Francisco 49ers. Nobody knew what they were going to do, if they were indeed going to even pick a quarterback, or were they going to go tight end. The name Mac Jones was on the list. The name Justin Fields was mentioned. And then Trey Lance was mentioned. But then the tight end was mentioned. Kyle Pitts out of Florida, he was mentioned. And nobody knew. No, you would try to listen to what the coaching staff was saying or the GM was saying, and you couldn't get a clue. They would go back and forth and confuse everybody. But what did you, the most interesting podcaster in the world, what did you consistently tell us on every show we've been on together? What did you consistently say about the San Francisco 49ers in the draft?
Smoke screen dream. That's what they are. They are the smoke screen dream team. Let me say this, man. A shout out to one of my favorite comedians, Touray. If you haven't heard him, look him up. Comedy by Touray on Instagram. Me and him was talking the night of the draft, and I told him, I said, y'all got the right quarterback. And he said, well, I'm just glad we didn't get the bull Mac Jones. And I told him, I said, I knew y'all wasn't going to get Mac Jones anyway. That's what y'all do. Y'all throw that smoke screen out there. I said, y'all did that back when everybody thought y'all was going to get Mitchell Trubisky. Y'all sucked the Bears into coming and trading down on y'all and everything. They come, they trade down, they got Mitchell Trubisky. Y'all went and drafted Solomon Thomas, end up with extra draft pick. You know, the next year, y'all end up getting Nick Bosa, I think, after that. And then the next year after that, y'all come back and, you know, y'all let everybody think that y'all going to pick Tristan Wirfs. So the Buccaneers go ahead of y'all to take Tristan Wirfs. And y'all go call the Washington football team to go get Trent Williams. So y'all suckered them into thinking that y'all was going to get Tristan Wirfs when y'all wasn't the whole time. And on this day, this draft this year, y'all had everybody thinking that y'all was going to get Mac Jones. The whole thing was Mac Jones going number three. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at the mock draft boards, 90% of them said, yeah, everything says Mac Jones going to San Fran. Kyle Shanahan loves him. I didn't believe that not one bit. I told everybody it was a smokescreen. I don't believe it not one bit. Not in that at all.
And you were right, because they ended up taking Trey Lance out of North Dakota State, which I think he's going to be good. He's such a smart player.
He is.
Yeah. What do you think about Trey Lance, especially compared to Mac Jones? What do you think about him?
I think he's way better than Mac Jones. Yeah. That's number one. Number two, I think Trey Lance was the third best quarterback in this draft. I think it was Trevor Lawrence, it was Justin Fields, and then it was Trey Lance. Mm-hmm. I believe Zach Wilson, in my eyes, was fourth. Mac Jones was fifth. And a tie. No, Mac Jones was sixth. Kyle Trask was fifth. Big Kyle Trask fan. I think Kyle Trask is better than Mac Jones.
And he ended up going to Tampa Bay.
He went to Tampa Bay.
Right. Well,
that was their second round pick, was Kyle Trask.
Well, they went with Trey Lance out of North Dakota State. And let me tell you something else I found out. They knew who they were going to pick. They knew earlier in the week who they were going to pick. But the coaching staff, well, the coach and the GM were so particular about keeping it under wraps and not wanting a leak to come out that they didn't tell anybody. They didn't tell the rest of the staff. They didn't tell the players. They didn't tell anybody. That's how serious they are about that smoke screen you talked about. So shout out to you because you called it from the beginning.
Smoke screen. I said it last year when they last year at the draft. I said the same thing. Everybody believed me last year. I said, all right. This is the smoke screen. Okay. The only reason why they took Nick Bosa when they took Nick Bosa is because you could not pass up on Nick Bosa.
That's right.
But besides that, everything else with a smoke screen with them. But I like the way the 49ers are doing it. I wouldn't be, if I'm them, keep smoke screening people until they understand to leave you alone. That's what I say. They want to keep asking you questions, keep lying to them.
Well, I say Bill Belichick does a little bit of that. He doesn't
He did a good job of that this year.
Yeah, he doesn't tell anybody. But like I said about Bill, I knew he was going to re-sign Cam Newton. But we can talk about that some other time. That's another conversation for another day. But I want to talk about these Raiders because, as I mentioned earlier, there was some confusing things going on in this draft. Yeah, the Raiders. Just win, baby. That's what they say, right? If they just want to win, I don't understand their first round pick. They picked, they picked Alex Leatherwood, the offensive tackle out of Alabama.
They reached for offensive lineman, yeah.
Yeah, but he was the 42nd ranked player in the draft and 8th best ranked lineman, which means there were 7 better linemen there. There were probably at least two or three.
7 better left tackles, I think he plays.
It was probably about 2 or 3 at least.
Got drafted.
No. I'm saying that was still left and undrafted. There were 2 or 3. There were 2 that I mentioned before that they could have picked. And I'm Christian Darrisaw was there. Tevin Jenkins was there. I just don't understand. I didn't understand why they picked him. Well, what I found out is these last 3 years, Coach Gruden, the 10-year contract man, Coach Gruden, picks his draft picks is by watching the CFP and the national championship game. So he doesn't track these players all season. He waits to the CFP, watches that film, watches the championship game, and that's where he gets his draft picks from. What do you think about that as a tactic? Because it doesn't seem to be working for him too well in the past.
I think it's a bad tactic, but the fact that you got Mike Mayock as your GM and you can make a bonehead first round pick, but he can make a great 6th round pick to fix your first round pick and save the whole draft class is the reason why Mike Mayock's in the building. Okay. Shout out to Mike Mayock out of Philadelphia,
Oh, he came from Philadelphia?
Yeah, he came from Philadelphia. He was he's a Philly guy. All the cool cats were the Simon Gratz, but you had to be okay with a butt.
Well, I just think it was a little bit of a strange pick. It looks like people were expecting him to trade down and get more draft capital or something, but no, he did what you call a reach and got this player. He's still going to be good talent, Alex Leatherwood. I just felt like they could have picked somebody that.
He was a second round guy.
Yeah, he was more of a second round. And then a guy who was supposed to go first round, by all predictions, Tevin Jenkins was still on the board at the end of the first round. So I know they could have picked him at the for the 17th pick or whatever pick they had. They could have picked him.
Yeah. I don't even think they should have went offensive lineman. I think they should have they should have picked, you know, something else. They need a lot of help on that defense. So they should have went another route with that defense. They could have got Greg Newsom Jr., you know.
Yeah, he was available.
You play the Chiefs every year, twice a year. Mm-hmm. You got to find a way to, you know, slow them down and beat them. Now, last year you were the team to beat them when they were on their hi-hat, but you know you beat them in a shootout. I think it was like 38-35. That was the game. That's the shootout. You want to be able to stop them.
Exactly.
So you should have went and got you a corner at 17. And then came back and got Alex Leatherwood in the second round. But you did the opposite. You went and got you a safety in the second round, which was the first round talent safety. Straight out of TCU.
They got a defensive back in the third round.
Yeah, they got two. They did good in the second and third round.
They got another safety in the fourth round. Saving his ass again. Yeah, he got another safety in the fourth round, too.
Yeah, I think because the guy, one of those guys that he drafted, is a slot corner as well.
Okay.
Yeah. And Heath Miller, who was, but not Heath Miller, something. I forgot his name. Whatever the safety that was that they got from the Cowboys, I think they let him go.
Well, they also got a cornerback, Nate Hobbs, out of Illinois in the fifth round.
Yeah.
So they did a whole lot of work on the defensive back corners and so forth. But and safeties, but I don't know. It was just a little weird to me. and the guys that I was in the room with watching the draft, they were all like, "What?" They all looked like with confusion on their faces.
Oh yeah, you was in there with Stay Tuned. Matter of fact, I think you was with Stay Tuned, and
I was on with Stay Tuned and the AFC North show, fam. Uh huh. I had them both up at the same time. Sam Sports, yep. So I had them both up at the same time, and shout out to both of those groups there. And it was just a little bit unusual, but let's move on and talk about, you said that you wanted to talk about a couple of other teams. So if we're at the Raiders, why don't we just go over to the Cowboys?
The Dallas Cowboys, hold on, I just had them board up.
And tell me what you think about those picks.
Cowboys had a pretty good pick for the first pick. In my eyes, I don't know how everybody else thought, but for me, they did pretty good with going out and getting Mekhi Parsons because Sean Lee just retired. So that was a good move.
Yeah, I didn't realize that he had retired.
Yeah, Sean Lee just retired, and the way he's looking is Leighton Van Der Esch may be going through some health situations as well. So they went and got them Jabril Cox as well in like the fourth or fifth round. And I said, man, they went and got replacements for their linebackers immediately. You know, they got two good linebackers. But if Leighton Van Der Esch does play, then they still will be pretty good. It all depends on what's going on. But I think Mekhi Parsons will probably play more DN than linebacker because they probably want him opposite of DeMarcus Lawrence. So they can get to the quarterback. And they'll let Jabril Cox play that third linebacker spot.
Well, they got a defensive end, Chauncey Golston out of Iowa. Big Ten cat.
Yeah.
Strong. Very athletic. I think that's going to be a welcome addition to that line.
I believe so.
To go get their quarterback is what I'm saying. To go get their opponent's quarterbacks.
Yeah, because they need it. They need it. And they got them a defensive tackle, too. But it's not the one that Marcus wanted. But they got them a defensive tackle.
Oh, yeah. Osa Adigizua.
Yeah.
Out of Iowa. I'm sorry, out of UCLA. But I see they got Jabril Cox in the fourth round. Did you expect him to be there in the fourth round?
I did not.
By the 115th pick?
I did not expect them to get him either. That's what made me mad. Not only did I not expect him to be there, I did not expect them to get him. And they went and got them a corner, too. Kevin Joseph.
Yeah, and see, I didn't see Kelvin Joseph on a list of first round. I thought he was more of a second round, a third rounder.
Yeah, they got him in the second.
They got him in the second, but I thought he was more of a third round cornerback, but that's who they got. So what do you think that that's going to mean for the Cowboys? Are they still slotted to win the division?
They are still slotted to win the division with the talent, not with the coaching, but with the talent that they have, they are still slotted to win the division. They should be the team to beat in the NFC. That's what they should be, but it's just that they got bad coaching. That's the only bad part about it. They got Dan Quinn and they got Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna call him Eminem.
Well, as long as he's there, I'm just not confident. I'm just not confident. I'm hoping that what we see from the Cowboys is a rejuvenation of Ezekiel Elliott, since Dak will probably be back.
Right. But see, in my eyes, Mike McCarthy is not a leader of men. Mm. That's how I feel about it. But he's trying. I do have to admit he's trying. That slamming watermelon and all of that he was doing, you know, somehow worked for the Cowboys to win a couple games. So he is trying.
I don't know.
I'm gonna give him E for effort. E for effort, F for execution. That's how it goes.
Okay. Well, let's stick with the NFC East there and move on to the New York Football Giants. What's the head coach name of the Giants?
Giants head coach is for another one from Philadelphia, Joe Judge.
Coach Judge. Do you think Coach Judge is sitting very happy about these draft picks that they got?
I think so. They went and forced their way to go get some wide receivers, which I don't understand. But what I like about it is that they got the defense in from Georgia, you know, to help with that pass rush that they got. You know, they got them two big boys in the middle, Big Cat Williams and Dexter Lawrence. Now they get this defense in from Georgia. These defensive lines and NFC are really – NFC East is really dangerous. Hmm. These are some dangerous defensive lines in NFC East. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Okay.
What else is going on over here? They only had six draft picks, but they went and got Allen Robinson and Rodarius – I think I said his name right. Well, Darius Williams. Not bad. Not bad at all. Even got them a linebacker.
Azeez Ojulari, outside linebacker.
Yeah, Azeez Ojulari. He's more of a DN. He a hand in the dirt guy. But they got them a linebacker in the fourth round, Ellerson Smith.
Smith. Mm-hmm. But he's from Northern Iowa, which is a smaller school.
I'm trying to think that's gonna translate. Why they get all these corners? That's the part I don't understand.
I guess they're trying to keep up with the Raiders. I don't know.
I'm lost. They got three corners already. They got Bradbury. Is it Bradbury? Bradbury. And then they got Denarius Holmes. And the third one that they just got was Adelius. What was the guy from that they just got from that was playing for the Tennessee Titans? They had just got him on their team. But that's three.
I thought they cut him. They didn't cut him?
No, Bradbury went to the Pro Bowl last year. They didn't cut him.
They didn't cut him? Okay. No,
Bradbury had a good year.
There must be somebody else I'm thinking about. So how you think it's gonna make them stack up in terms of winning a division?
Another one. They should be in the race. They definitely should be in the race. Their whole thing relies on one man, number 8, Daniel Jones. No dimes, no nickels, no pennies. Jones.
I mean, do you think he's going to elevate?
He got no choice.
He has no choice.
This is it.
They all got choices, but they don't always do it.
You know, you're hoping you get a Josh Allen year from him. You know, Josh Allen in year 3 made great progress, almost became the MVP.
True.
So, well, that's what
we'll have to see how that. So, it sounds like to me that after the draft, that the 3 top tiers are pretty competitive to win the division. Do you give the Washington football team an outside chance, at least, of sitting at the top?
They got a chance. They division champs. They got a chance.
Okay.
They got a chance. They division champs.
Well, you talked about not one of your rivals or 2 of your rivals.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk about one of mine.
Uh-oh.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
Cincinnati. You know,
I grew up 30 minutes from Cincinnati. Never liked the Bengals at all, ever.
Well, that's your hometown team.
No, just never liked them. I've always been this Pittsburgh Steelers girl and will remain that. And but I wanted to take a look at this draft because I was actually pretty impressed with their draft picks. I thought they did pretty good. I am a fan of their quarterback who had a rookie season last year, Joe Burrow, who had a pretty good season until he was injured and had to sit out the rest of the season. I am a Joe Burrow fan, and I was pleased with their pick of Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU, who Joe Burrow is used to throwing passes to. So I'm pretty good with this wide receiver pick at number 5 in the first round. Okay. And
instead of getting the best offensive lineman in the draft?
Right, instead of getting the offense, I'm pretty good with it. And I'm using the same reasons that I use about the Steelers at 24. The O-line drop-off was not as great. You could get the first 10 offensive linemen and line them up, and you can pretty much plug them in to just about any team across the NFL, depending upon what you need. Just about any team. And get pretty much the same results. That's how I felt about it. If after watching film and reading, there were only two that I felt that they missed out on. One of them was already drafted at number 3. I think it was 3. One of them was already drafted.
You said at 3, right?
Oh, no, he wasn't drafted yet. I thought they could have gotten Penei Sewell.
Right. That's what I'm on. That's why not get him. Yeah. That's what I was saying.
That's the only other option. But right. I guess what they figured is we'll take a wide receiver first. Our next pick is coming. Our next pick in the second round. That's what we'll work on the offensive line is what I thought they were going to do. You know, they actually ended up trading with Chicago and they took a linebacker.
Yeah.
So they didn't do their offensive line until much later, but I'm still excited about this pick.
That's why,
because he needed somebody to throw the ball to.
Okay.
But how did you feel about it? I guess you probably don't agree with me. You probably feel like everybody else that they should have gotten Penei.
Yeah, well, at least in the second round. You should have got an offensive lineman, but you ain't doing it in either round. So it was like, are you looking to keep your quarterback healthy or not? You know, they got that saying on the blind side. You know, the first thing you do is pay the mortgage. The second thing you do is pay the insurance.
Right. Well, even after that, their third pick was a defensive end out of Texas. So they did a wide receiver and two defensive players first, second and third.
I guess they believe in Jonah. I guess this was his name, Jonah Williams. That's his name, Jonah Williams.
Well, they believe in their picks because and you know what? They've been getting good grades. I'm looking up, you know, the grading, and people have been giving them a B, which is not bad. So apparently they must disagree with us, Dennis.
Yeah, let them tell it. I'm giving them E for effort, F for execution. That's what I'm giving them.
Oh, my goodness. But anyway.
It's my Kenny Smith. It's my Kenny Smith talk right there. E for effort, F for execution.
Well, we'll see. I'm just excited to see this matchup. Plus, they're one of our rivals. One of our rivals. So if they don't do well, that's great for me in the as a Steeler fan. So I'm cool with it. I guess that's where I have to let it lie because that just makes it better for me. So I'm gonna be a homer on that part, on that point.
Okay.
But let's finish up our draft conversation today with the world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's Tampa a team Bay. You picked that you wanted to discuss their draft picks.
Yes. Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So how do you chance. Feel they did in the draft?
I will give them a B. I felt as though.
I can't hear you.
I'll give them a B. Mm-hmm. And I felt as though that they needed some more secondary help. You know, they wouldn't address it with Chris Wilcox, but I felt as though they needed more secondary help. That's the only thing I felt as though. I like the pick of Joe Tyron. I love the pick of Kyle Trask. You know how I feel about Kyle Trask. That's my guy.
Talk about that. Why are you so excited about Kyle Trask?
Kyle Trask, you know, and I don't even like Florida. Let's get that out of the way. I'm a Tennessee Volunteers guy, and I'm a Temple Owls guy. Those are my college football teams. So as I'm watching college football this year, every game I seen Florida in, Kyle Trask is out there playing with just pure heart, trying to will his team back in to these games, you know, out there just, you know, slinging that rock.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, everybody keeps saying, well, he got all these star receivers and star tight ends. I'm like, yeah, so do Mac Jones. But they was right in it with Mac Jones and them to the thick of it until the situation happened. And they, you know, they almost lost they almost lost to LSU when LSU ain't even have a defense. And I'm like, yeah, well, they almost lost to them because of certain situations. You know, things happen. If you underestimate a team, that's what happened. But Kyle Trask, on the other hand, came to play. And that's what I was watching. I was just watching the guy that was coming out there to compete every game. And that's the kind of guy I want on my team, coming out there to compete every game.
Well, they say that he's like a Ben Roethlisberger type of quarterback. That's what I'm hearing. Is that what you see?
I see all that. But I can understand where they got it from. But I ain't see all that.
They say that he's tough like Ben. Not necessarily that he makes things happen like Ben or that he's big like Ben.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Even though he is 6'5 and 240. So he is big like Ben. Yeah. But they say that he can move, but he doesn't. He's not a big runner. But he plays very well inside and outside the pocket. That's what I'm hearing.
But everybody keep knocking because they say, he played with all these star receivers and star.
Well, you know, I don't listen to that. I never listen to that. He plays with stars, so that's what makes him better narrative anyway. But they at least went outside linebacker for their first pick in the first round, Joe Tryon out of Washington.
Yeah, and they're trying to keep that D-line in rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people forget 2 years ago, Shaquille Barrett either led the league in rush or sacks, or he was right behind in sacks.
Mm-hmm. And he was in the top three. Ago. He was in the top three, I know.
Yeah, that was just 2 seasons ago.
Mm-hmm. And he's still there. So
Right, and he's still there. So you gotta watch out for Shaquille. Shaquille Barrett was working his inner Von Miller, and they used to be teammates.
Yeah. So, do you think that they will, because of this draft, do you think that they got the pieces necessary to help them return to number? Well, first of all, do you think they will get the division this year? Because they didn't last season. Will they return to the Super Bowl?
They might get the division, but I see them losing in the playoffs.
Why do you feel that way?
I just feel as though they're going to lose in the playoffs. And I'm hoping it's to the Eagles. I'm just hoping. If I had one wish, you know, it would be us to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just like they put the whooping on us years ago. So.
Well, I think you all have some pretty good pieces in place. And it very well could be an NFC East team going to the Super Bowl. I think that's a possibility.
Definitely is a possibility.
Given, the outcome of the draft. I put it
all on the Cowboys, but definitely is a possibility. You never know what may happen.
All right. Well, you heard it here. So overall, with the draft, I felt like it was a pretty good draft. I felt like things went pretty much like we expected, with a few kind of glitches, a few strange picks, a few unexpected picks, smoke screens getting busted down and so forth.
Right.
I thought it was a pretty good draft, though.
Now I got everybody wearing these smoke screens. Now for the next couple of years, they're going to be looking at San Fran like, stop lying.
Well, I think that it, like I said, it was pretty good overall. What'd you think about Cleveland? Weren't they great hosts for the draft?
They were. Cleveland was a great host for the draft. They did a great job at that draft. I loved it. I loved it. I wish I was there.
Yeah, it looked like it was a fun time.
My cousin told, we should just go and get some tickets, and I was like, ah. But you know what? My sister told me, she was like, well, I don't know what you're waiting for, because we just had COVID, so you never know what may happen. So from now on, next year's going to be in Vegas, so I'll be there next year.
All right.
I'll be in the wind in that one.
Oh, give me a ticket. I'll go with you.
I don't even think I'm getting a ticket. I'm just going to Vegas.
You're just going to Vegas?
I'm just going to Vegas.
Well, like I said, it seemed to be a good time. The fans and the people of Cleveland were great hosts. You know, they did nice camera shots showing the city. The city has really changed a lot since the last time I've been to Cleveland. It's been some years since I've been to Cleveland, and they've really done a pretty good job fixing it up and making it look like a very nice, return to glory type of city. So that's what I was impressed with there.
Yeah, they got to clean it up. Even if that area was dirty like you remember, but 10 years ago, they still gonna clean it up right now to make it look good.
To make it look good for the draft, yeah.
For the draft, but, yeah. They gotta sell it.
Well, they did a good job of that. And it looked like all the fans and everybody that was there had a really good time. And like I said, some strange things happened. Like we didn't expect Mac Jones to fall from 3 to 15. We didn't expect Justin Fields to fall from 2 to 11.
I didn't say Justin Fields on.
We really didn't. And then we didn't expect I didn't expect Najee to be there at 24. Did you expect him to still be on the board at 24? Yeah. I didn't.
I didn't think nobody was going to pick him up.
Really? Because he's a running back, right?
He's a running back.
Yeah, well, that whole theory about you don't draft running backs in the first round, I just think that's bull. Those of us who know
it's bull, but I just think you got to be that running back. That's the only thing to me.
I'm saying when the talent is that high and that special, it's bull.
I don't think he's that special, but
you got to let go of that theory when the running back is that special, and you don't think he's that special.
I don't think that's special. No,
why not?
I thought Christian McCaffrey was special when I seen him in college. Mm-hmm. He was worth a top 10 pick. Ezekiel Elliott was special in college. He was worth a top 10 pick. LaDainian Tomlinson, special. You know, who was another one? That was a top 10 pick that just looked special. I didn't think Trent Edwards was special at all either.
Well, I didn't either. But Najee Harris held the record for touchdowns out of Alabama in school history. And he was the top ranked running back in the draft by all accounts.
Yeah, he was.
So I got to think he was special.
I don't think he was top 10 special. I think he was special. I don't think he's top 10 special. It's like Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry was special, but he didn't get drafted to the second round.
Yeah, but, you know, for me, you can't use that Derrick Henry comparison because, you know, I'm not on Derrick Henry anyway. But that's another story for another day. But anyway, I felt like it was a good draft. I felt like we had a good conversation. Any final words on the draft that you want to offer?
Yes. To the NFL, please bring the draft back to Philadelphia so I can, you know, just walk down the street and go see it this time. That's all. Or you can bring it to New York, man. Don't even bring it to New York.
I wish they would bring it to Charlotte. I know it's not going to happen. But no,
It was supposed to be in Charlotte one year, wasn't it? No, y'all was supposed to have an all-star game.
You're supposed to have an all-star game.
And something happened.
Well, that stupid bathroom law is what they called it, the bathroom law, which was BS. BS law.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But, yeah, they need to bring the draft to Charlotte. It'd be wonderful here.
Yeah, they do.
Or have it, even if it's not in Charlotte, have it in Wilmington on the beach. Oh, my gosh, this time of year, it's beautiful there. It would be an experience like no other. But anyway, that's just me. I just wanted to come to somewhere in North Carolina so I don't have to travel too far to get there.
They might bring it to Baltimore. Baltimore is good for you.
Baltimore, I can make it to Baltimore.
Yeah, but they might bring it to Baltimore.
I could make it there. But anyway, it's been a good conversation with you today, Dennis.
Yes.
I felt like I felt good about the draft. I'm feeling good about my Steelers. I think we're primed and ready to take the AFC North. I don't really care about what those dirty, 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 dirty birds are saying over at Baltimore. I don't care what they're saying. I feel like we're going to take it. That's what I feel. But the one thing I wanted to ask you before we sign off today is about this draft. If you were in the draft, you were participating in the draft, you're sitting around waiting, thinking if you're going to go first, second, or third. They've right. told you, hey, you'll probably go first round. You probably go first round. So if you're a prospect and you're invited to the draft, would you go to the draft wherever it is, or would you prefer to be called while you're at home or in some bar or at a barbershop with your family and friends there, or would you have your family and friends there with you at the draft? Which one would you prefer?
See, I don't want to go and be in the green room because I don't want them to stick me in the green room. Then I got to come back the next day and put a suit on and still be in the green room and wait for somebody to pick me. I don't want that embarrassing green room moment. I don't. So what I would do is I would go to the draft. I just wouldn't be in the green room. I'd be in the public with the crowd, with the fans, and I'll have a good time there. That's what I would do differently. You know, I have my whole family there with me. We'll be there having a good time, enjoying ourselves with the festivities at the draft and just waiting to get drafted.
Really?
That's what I would do.
So when they call you as a 13th pick.
The cameras already be on me, so if they call me.
In the NFL draft.
And I'm a such and such pick, then I just, you know.
You just come up out of the audience.
Yeah. As I'm walking by, I'll be done slapped everybody's hand. Thank you.
Put your hat on.
Yeah.
So would you just shake the commissioner's hand, or would you give him a little, you know, a little bro hug?
I'll still give him a hug.
We do the bro hug.
I give him a hug so tight he had to catch his breath. Yeah.
That's my man. I don't care what y'all say. I love Roger Goodell.
I don't have a problem with Roger Goodell.
I love him.
I don't have a problem with him.
That's my dude right there. I love him. Yeah, I don't agree with all the stuff, all the decisions he's made and things that he said.
At first I didn't, but then I had to think about it. He got to protect the business of the NFL.
He does.
So, he got to make
why they hired him.
Yeah.
That's why they hired him. So, and he's made them money. So, hey.
Right.
What can we say? They have to write the checks. The owners have to pay the building, have to pay the taxes. They got to pay the salaries. They got to pay the groundskeeping. They got to pay all the personnel. They got to pay for everything. Hey, they got to make money.
Only thing he asked for was free health care for life in a private jet.
Is that what he asked for?
That's what he asked for. Free health care for life in a private jet.
I'm not mad at him.
I think he got a regular salary, but that's the only two other things he asked for.
Well, the only thing that I say, what I say to people who are down on Roger Goodell is, y'all don't like the fact that he's judge, jury, and executioner when these situations come up, but then these players and the Players Association are who gave him that power. All he's doing is following. He's just following the contract. He's just doing what he's told to do. And then people get mad at him. I'm not mad at him. I say change it. If you don't like it, change it. But anyway, went off on a little bit of a tangent. But for me, if my son was in the draft, I would want to be at the draft. I want him to be in the green room. I want him to have the experience of walking through the tunnel, going up on the stage, getting his cap, getting his photo op and all that stuff. I just want him to have that experience. It's an experience like no other. Sitting back at home in a hotel room or in the house with all these family and friends and latchers on and all that, I'm not interested in that. The one draft announcement that I found very interesting was Joe Burrow last year. It was him, his mama, his daddy. That's it. Every time I see that, I just have mad respect for him because it was him, mom, and dad. And that was it.
I mean, that was a good thing.
Yeah, that was a good thing. But anyway, though, I thank you guys out there for listening to another episode of Did You Hear What Chocolate Said? I thank my guest, Mr. Dennis Holmes, Inner Thinkers Podcast.
Yeah.
Tell everybody what you got going on, Dennis.
Well, today is Talk US Tuesday, as usual. And we also going to be on Stay Tuned. So that's what we usually do each and every Tuesday, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. Stay Tuned starts at 10 p.m. Eastern. Make sure y'all check me out on Facebook Live. If you go to Ignorant Thinker Podcast and click the link in my bio, and you can subscribe to everything that I got going on. Again, I'd like to thank you for that.
Of course.
I'm actually going to Tennessee, so I'm going to the Allen Iverson Classic this week.
Oh, so okay.
This is my first time getting media passes, and I'm excited, so I'm going to the Allen Iverson Classic so I can have me a good time and find out some new things and, you know, get some stories out there to talk about.
That'd be cool. And your chocolate girl here is going to be on Talk Your Ish Tuesday tonight.
That's right.
I'll be in the comments on Stay Tuned at 10. So Talk Your Ish at 8, Stay Tuned at 10 on Facebook. You can catch us on Facebook. And make sure you like and follow and subscribe to Did You Hear What Chocolate Said? So you can get my podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, and any other place that you listen to podcasts. Just look for Did You Hear What Chocolate Said. I also post my episodes on my Facebook page, Chocolate Writer. You can follow me on IG and Twitter under Chocolate Writer, and Facebook Chocolate Writer as well. So thanks again, everybody, for listening. And just remember, catch us on Talk Your Ish Tuesday tonight, 8 o'clock. Stay tuned at 10 o'clock. When is the Buck Flair show going to come back?
It's this Wednesday.
Oh, it's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, Buck Flair show. I'm hoping to pop in there and crash, maybe get on the show with them. You guys, y'all got to help me out with that in the comments and say, hey, where's that chocolate girl at? When you don't see me on the show, just ask for me and I'll pop up.
I'll still be on the road tomorrow, so.
You'll still be on the road?
I'll still be on the road.
Well, hopefully I'll be able to get on there. But anyway, thank you guys for listening. And like I said, I hope you guys keep in touch and like and subscribe to our pages. Thanks, Dennis. And thank you. Once again, I wish everybody love, peace, and chocolate.